Tonight we are in Proverbs chapter 16. Last week we stopped at verse 7. So if you'll turn to Proverbs 16 and verse 8, we'll pick it up there. Let me read a few verses and then we'll come back to verse 8. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with outright. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. The wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it. In the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. So let's go back to verse 8 and look at that first word, better. We saw that a couple of weeks ago in the previous chapter 15. Verse 16, it says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble. Verse 17, better is a den of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred. And it's been a long time since I've done a word study of the English word better, but I have it somewhere in my notes. I didn't go back to pull it up whenever I was preparing for tonight. But if you want to do a study of words like that with a concordance, whether you have the old-fashioned concordance of a book or you have an electronic one there, and look at the word better, and look at all the verses where we have the English word better. And the Lord wants us to have something better. Better than we did before we were saved. Better than what this world has to offer. The Lord came that he might give us life, and life more abundant. Better life. And so God wants things for us to be better. And here in verse 8, he says, it's better to have a little with righteousness and have great revenues without right. And we know in our world today there are a lot of unsaved, wicked people that have great revenues of wealth. And oftentimes they've gotten that wealth by unrighteous ways. Not all the time, but sometimes they have. And so when we look at our society and we look at how people want more and more things, you know, people that at Christmas time that don't focus on Christ, it's just all about the things, you know, get more stuff, you know, whether not just kids either, you know, adults as well. But God says he has something better. And why is it better? Verse 8, why is it better to have a little where there's righteousness involved than to have a whole lot where there's not righteous? And the reason it's better is because of the longevity of it. One is permanent, eternal. The other one is temporal. And it's better to have something that's permanent with the Lord, because all the riches and all the wealth of this world, it's all temporary there. And so God wants to have something that's so much better than the world has to offer, or materialism, as we saw in Luke going through that on Sunday mornings. God has something better for us. But Satan loves to deceive us. And he likes people to think that, oh, it would be better. You know, the grass is always greener. It's better on the other side, isn't it? There. And so Satan tries to deceive us. But God has something that's better for us if we learn to trust him. Now, verse 9 says, a man's heart devises his way. That word devises means kind of like invent, to think up things. And so in the heart of man, he thinks up ways that he wants to go. Later we'll see that there are many ways of a man that are right in his own eyes. That verse is coming up in just a little bit here. It says, so a man's heart, it invents a way to go, but the Lord directs his steps. The Lord establishes that. We really can't trust our hearts, can we? Because our hearts will deceive us, and it will lead us in the wrong way. But when we trust the Lord, he will direct our steps. This word direct is a Hebrew word that means to cause to stand in an upright position. And whenever we trust the Lord, we might devise our way. We might make some plans and invent some things that we want to do and have it in our minds. But it's the Lord who ultimately will allow those things to be carried out or not. And he will cause those things to stand there. The extent of man's way certainly depends upon the Lord. Verse 10, a divine sentence is in the lips of the king. This is the Hebrew word that we often see, divination, to divine something, has the idea of prophecy in it. And so here, when it talks about the king, he has a divine sentence. So whenever the king speaks, if he says it's true, it's true. If he says it's false, it's false. And the king's word was often viewed as being prophetic. I mean, if the king says it, it must be so. We kind of see that in the Catholic Church with the Pope, right? I mean, if the Pope says it, you know, it must be there. The infallibility of the Pope when he is speaking, you know, from his official position there. Well, that's the idea of this verse. A divine sentence is in the lips of a king. His mouth doesn't transgress in judgment. That is, in other words, what he says goes. Doesn't matter if the king is right or wrong. He's a king. He's not a president. He's a king. And he has that absolute authority. And what he says goes. And that's the way it is in a lot of homes. Well, it should be with parents, right? Were you ever told when you ask your parents why? And they said, because I said so. Did you ever have your parents tell you that? Did you ever tell your kids that? You know, if you read secular psychologists, they'll say, that's not good. You need to explain to them your reasoning for that. They'll understand it and accept it better. My parents didn't read that book, you know. And there are some times that parents will want to explain to them and tell them why. But there are some times that parents don't want to. So who makes that decision? Not the child. You know, the parent will make that decision. I'll tell you if I think you need to know, and I'll not tell you if I don't think you need to know. And so this verse says, the mouth transgresses not in judgment. And so the authority, it says it, and it's so. Now, when we apply that to God, he is obviously the ultimate authority, and he never does anything wrong. And so what he says goes. Whether we believe it or not, God is always right there. And sometimes to our children, we will need to say, because I said so there, transgresses not in judgment. Verse 11, a just weight and balance are the Lord's. Go back to the previous chapter, verse 1. No, it wasn't the previous chapter. It was chapter 11. I thought it was the previous chapter. Verse 1 talks about a false balance. It's abomination to the Lord. But when we come over here to verse 11, it says a just weight and balance there. And so everything that God does is right, is balanced. It's fair, if you want to use that word. God is fair. We have learned that there's a difference between fair and equal. Whenever I was 12 years old, I had a little brother come into the family, you know, and here I am in sixth grade, and, you know, and here is my little brother Reed, you know, a year later, you know, mom and dad are putting him to bed, you know, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and I didn't have to go to bed that early. Is that fair? Well, yeah, it's not equal. And so equal, God, as you look around at the world, God hasn't treated everybody equally. Financially, you know, in other ways, you know, we're really blessed, aren't we, to be Americans? We're blessed, you know, when you look at some of the other countries, like you look at Papua New Guinea and the way that some of those people live, you know, why does God do that for some and not others? Well, we can't answer that question, can we? Because we're not God. But we know one thing, God is right. And whatever he does, even though we don't understand it. And so a just weight and balance are the Lord. And all the weights of the bag, everything God does is right. Verse 12, it's an abomination to kings to commit wickedness. And so the higher the office, the greater the effect of wickedness there. And so to a king of righteousness, it's an abomination to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness there. When we think of the throne of Christ, certainly it's established by righteousness there. And from the human standpoint of righteousness, not the one that Christ gives us, when the throne is established by righteousness, it can also be taken away by unrighteousness. People can make unrighteous decisions and do unrighteous deeds, and they certainly will pay the cost of that. They will reap what they have sown there. Verse 13 says, righteous lips are the delight of kings. And the word righteous there has to do with an ethical standard or even a legal standard. In verse 13, you see the word right at the end. The first word is righteous. The last word is right. And those are two different words. The word righteous has to do with a standard, as I said, legal or ethical standard. The word right at the end of the verse is a word that means straight and level. And it says, they love him that speak right. Shoot straight with someone is a term we use, to speak right. And so when he's speaking, sometimes that speaking is in a court where he's giving a testimony. And sometimes a person's future will depend upon the person who's speaking, whether he's speaking truth or whether he's speaking lies. And so they love him that speaks right there. And our testimony to the truth of God can affect someone's future. If they're lost and we share with them the love of God and how to be saved and give a testimony to that, we can certainly make a difference in their eternal future there. Now verse 14, this idea of the king continues on here, and we think about the Lord as king as well as a human earthly kingdoms as well. Verse 14 says, the wrath of a king is as messengers of death. Kings love loyalty and truth. I mean, if kings find out he has someone in his kingdom that's one of his servants and he's not being loyal, the king's going to throw him out. Well, he might even execute him. But he's not going to put up with somebody not being loyal here. So it says the wrath of a king, whenever he realizes that there's someone that's not helping his cause, he's going to take care of that person. And so royalty loves loyalty. And so when we think about that as far as it relates to the Lord, we have a royal king, and he certainly loves loyalty as well. Verse 14 goes on to say, but a wise man will pacify it. And so here's the picture of a king who's angry. And because he's angry, he's giving the death sentence, messengers of death here. And so he's angry either with someone in his kingdom, or he might be angry with the enemy who's trying to destroy his kingdom. And so he's sending a messenger of death, and then here's someone who comes to pacify the king. And you pacify the king by giving him something he wants. And so when we make that application spiritually to what the Lord has done for us, God is king and righteous. And the Bible says he's angry with the wicked every day. And the wrath of the king is on mankind because every man has been disloyal. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we haven't been loyal to him. And so he sends out the message of death. So as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So he sends out the message, but then we have someone, the all-wise one, God himself in the person of Christ, he came and pacified the wrath of a righteous God there. And by giving God something he wanted, justice. And whenever Christ took our place on the cross, the justice of God was satisfied. And because he was satisfied, then we benefit there from it. So a wise man will pacify wrath there. Royalty loves loyalty. Now go to verse 15. In the light of the king's countenance is life and his favor. So notice those two things, life and favor. Coming from the king, when the king is pleased, there's life, there's favor. The New Testament, what is a word for favor? God's unmerited favor is grace, isn't it? And so here, when the king is pleased and he's been satisfied, there's life and there's grace. And that's what God has for us. Going back to the very first word of, we saw in verse 8, God has something for us that's better. Life and grace and peace from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, verse 16, there's that word again. How much better? It's better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding than silver. And the reason is the same reason as before. Why is it better? Because the wisdom of God is eternal, and gold and silver is not. What is fool's gold? It looks like gold, but it's not. It's counterfeit, isn't it? And so we think about fool's gold, and here in this verse it says it's better to get wisdom than gold because that's the fool's wealth. Well, not only is there such a thing as fool's gold, there's also such a thing as fool's wisdom. And here he's talking about wisdom and gold. And there's the wisdom of a fool. You will say, well, a fool doesn't have any wisdom. Go to James. You may have already thought of that. James chapter 3. And let's look at the two kinds of wisdom that James teaches us in James, starting at verse 13. He asked the question, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, that is a lifestyle, his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. this wisdom, that is the wisdom of strife, the wisdom of bitterness, it says that kind of wisdom descends not from above, but it's earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish. For where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above. And so there's a real, genuine, heavenly wisdom. And then there's the fool's wisdom. The wisdom from above, verse 17 says, it's pure and it's peaceable. It's gentle, easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy and good fruits. It's without partiality. It's without hypocrisy. But the fool's goal, the fool's wisdom, is the opposite of those things, because Satan tries to deceive us into thinking that he has something better for us than what God has. But God's wisdom is better than the wisdom of this world. Now, verse 17, he draws a wonderful picture for us here. Well, before I go on to 17, in 16 it talked about gold and silver, and God is king of all the earth. He has all the gold and silver there is. He made it all. So if we have his wisdom, if we need gold and silver, he'll give it to us. Whatever we need, he'll provide for us. Now, verse 17, the highway. Think about a highway. Here it says the highway up the upright is to depart from evil. You get on a highway, and you think about the highways. Well, there are potholes, especially in South Carolina. We have a lot of those, don't we? You see that in the news all the time there. There are some detours. There are some road markers, some warnings, some cautions. Well, there's even some radar detection devices checking for your speed there. As you go along the highway, there are a lot of different things that we can encounter. There are some signs to help guide us and signs to warn us and those kinds of things. And so here, when we think about a highway, verse 17 says, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. In other words, stay on the right highway. There's danger in making wrong turns. There's danger in not heeding the warning signs that we see along the highway of life. And so the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserves his soul. He that keeps his way, that's another way of saying he that stays on course. So we're on this highway, and if we stay on course, we're going to preserve our soul. But if we exit and we detour, then the opposite of preserving is, well, decaying, if you think of the sense of preserves that you that grandma used to make there. They last and last, well, until you open a jar, then they're gone pretty quickly there. But on the highway of life, there are many exits, and we have to be careful and watch out for that and heed the warnings that God gives us in his word. If we stay on course, if we stay on the straight and narrow, then God will preserve our soul. He'll keep our ways there. And it's easy to stay on the right highway if we follow our course there. Verse 18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And those two things have very similar meaning. Pride is an elevated view of oneself. But the idea of the haughty spirit here is not just a higher view of myself, but it is a degrading view of others. And so oftentimes people, in order to make themselves feel elevated, they have to put other people down, and it makes them feel higher there. And so that is pride. And it gets that way because we start comparing ourselves with other people. Now, if we start comparing ourselves to Jesus, compare ourselves to God, are we going to have a haughty spirit? We're going to have a humble attitude if we compare ourselves to Him. And so usually when people want to feel better about themselves from the world's feel-good theology, you know, they'll look at somebody that's a whole lot worse off. At least I'm not as bad as that guy, you know. And it causes them to elevate themselves. And that kind of pride brings about destruction there. When we compare ourselves to God, it's very humbling. Verse 19, guess what word we see again here? Better. It's better to be of a humble spirit and be with the lowly. That is because the humble will receive eternal recognition from God. The proud are going to receive temporary recognition. So all of this better that we see here several times in this chapter already has to do because one's eternal, one's temporal. God has something that's long-lasting for us, eternal in heaven. 1 Peter 5, 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you, that He may lift you up in due time. And it talks about the spoil here in verse 19. It says, better is he of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud there. And the spoil that the proud gains is temporary, and sometimes it's gotten deceitfully as well. And it's better to have that from the Lord that's honest and right, even though it might be less, but it's eternal, and to be of a humble spirit. Verse 20, a little bit more and we'll wrap it up here. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. The word matter here is a Hebrew word that simply means word. So when people come to you with a word of gossip, do you handle it wisely? If people come to you with a word of complaint, do you handle it wisely? Here in verse 20, it says, he that handles a word, a saying, coming from someone, if you handle it wisely, you'll find good. How do you know how to handle it wisely or not? Well, that's where we need to know God's word. Because God's word is what gives us wisdom. In James, we saw the wisdom that's from above and the wisdom that is from below. We want to handle things wisely that's pleasing to God. And so he that handles a matter wisely will find good there. And whoso trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Trusting in the Lord is an active participle, which means it's an ongoing lifestyle. It's not just something, oh, I have this need now, I'm praying about it, I'm going to trust God for this. You know, our trusting of the Lord should be an everyday ongoing activity there. And so we trust in the Lord whenever we need to answer a matter wisely. What is the opposite of trusting in the Lord? Don't say not trusting in the Lord. What was that? Trusting in yourself? Doubt? Did I hear something else? Doubting is certainly not trusting in the Lord, is it? And so God wants us to trust Him. Trust Him on the highway of life and stay focused on what He has for us. And don't go detouring thinking I know a shortcut. You know, if you haven't been there, I know there's a shortcut. And so sometimes it will lead us astray. And so verse 20 says, whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. And God has something better for us, a life that is happy there, full of joy God has for us And but whenever we trust our own heart and try to go our own way, we won't end up with something better. But when we trust in the Lord and do right, and we are pleasing to the King because it's His kingdom, and we are servants in His kingdom, and whenever we're doing whatever we're doing to honor the King in His kingdom, then everything we do will be better for Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the kingdom of God and for the privilege we have of being in that kingdom. And it's through Your salvation that we are a part. Lord, help us as that we might know how to handle matters wisely. And Lord, oftentimes we need to give a word of help to others, and we need wisdom. We just don't have all the answers. But we thank You that You do. And You are pleased to reveal that, those answers to us when we trust You and when we look to You and when we follow the highway that You have for us, and that we don't detour and we watch out for the potholes of life. And Lord, we stay on track. And Lord, that You have something so much better for us down the road. Help us not to be deceived by the fool's gold or the fool's wisdom of the deceitfulness of riches and the deceitfulness of Satan. But Lord, help us to attain that which is better that You have for us. In Christ's name, amen.